Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Tennessee Titans fall to the Indianapolis Colts 23-16 in Indianapolis yesterday, and TD was there. Teron Davenport joins us now. TD, it feels to me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, your feeling on this, it feels to me that yesterday the Titans just didn't play with an identity. That the Colts beat the Titans the way that the Titans have won so many games. Running the football, stopping the run, and just being tough at the line of scrimmage. What did you see there with the Titans in terms of their identity and what they wanted to do?
Yeah, that's really the problem. And the Colts played their game, and they played a little bit differently. Like, they ran the ball differently, but essentially the whole concept of just being able to run another team over, that's what happened. And it was bad, and you could tell this team, they missed T.R. Tart yesterday. I think that was the big thing, because a lot of those runs were right on the interior. Guys were getting blocked up, and they weren't able to shed, you know. And then linebackers, you know, you had the guards go up to the linebackers on that long run, and they were able to, you know, move them out the way. And I think that's a good example of why a quarterback that runs the ball really well helps the rushing attack, because that's why Byard wasn't there to, you know, plug it up, you know, after the Moss got past the linebackers. So there's a lot of things. They just didn't play well on defense, and obviously offensively you want to see them run the football a little bit more and with more success, but you know, it's just one of those things where nothing came together for them.
TD Teron Davenport is with us. TD, I have a really hard time saying that the Titans are a good home team and a bad road team, because I think that there were several more factors there to, you know, explain why they lost to Cleveland. Just a really good defensive front. You throw 3 interceptions in New Orleans, you know, it's you're going to lose games like that. 0-3 on the road, 2-0 at home. What other explanation is there for that?
Well, I think it's just they're not playing well. And we just went over how they got away from their identity yesterday. And I think, you know, you mentioned the problems in the other two games. So I think it really just comes down to, they have to figure out a way to, you know, put it all together and not just at Nissan Stadium. And I don't know that being on the road has that much of a factor, but it's not happening for them.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport discussing the Titans 23-16 loss to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, TD, I heard the interview with Fulton after the game. And I'm sure if Vrabel listened to it, that's probably something he doesn't like, the excuse making. What do you think is going to happen in this situation?
Well, that's the big thing that I'm curious about. I personally think you keep putting him out there and let him try to play through it. But at the same time, you look at what Coach Vrabel said today about the confidence he has in the guys when asked about the depth, you know, the DBs behind him. I think there's a reduced role. Now, Fulton played 58 snaps yesterday, and everyone else played 61, the other starters in the secondary. So you did see him come out for a bit. I wonder if that number gets shortened and you do see Trey Avery or Vildor, Kendall Vildor mixed in, or if they go a different nickel look with Elijah Molden as the nickel and bump Roger McCreary outside. I personally would not do that, because I think McCreary is a very strong player at nickel, you know, when they want to blitz him, also against the run. So I think it's going to be – I don't think they bench him, but I think there's going to be, you know, opportunities for Trey Avery to probably – or someone else, some other look to play into a little more opportunities.
Now, as much as, you know, T.R. Tart's my favorite player. That man, that young man plays. He plays his heart out. It seems like every time he's out there. But I don't want to believe that losing him, not having him, was that big of a problem. But was that the problem, not having T.R. Tartt in the game?
I think it was a part of it, you know, because a part of that, you know, setting a wall, that's what he does. He's a guy, or creating a wall, that's what he does. As far as you look how many times we've seen the swim move and he gets a tackle for a loss, and it's right on similar runs to where Zach Moss was able to excel, you know. So I think that is something, but at the same time, the tackling wasn't good. And then also there are times, look, man, Jeffrey Simmons is an outstanding player, but on that run, he got moved out of the way also. So it just was collectively they struggled. But I think, you know, having a guy like Tartt, you know, 320 pounds or whatever he is, agile and has a swim move that we mentioned, I think that does help the run defense, and they definitely missed him. And it with a guy like that, it makes it harder for the guards, right, to get up to the linebackers, you know. So that's something else to think about.
Now, do you think that was with the, you know, Richardson getting hurt, even though I thought, you know, Richardson was playing well and that offense was, you know, moving the ball the way they wanted to at times. But do you think that once Minshew came in, that sort of threw the Titans defense off a little bit, because you're game planning for sort of this three-headed monster with the quarterback being, you know, a pivotal part in what they're doing from a run standpoint. But then you go from that to a guy that can run a little bit, but he's more of a drop back guy.
Yeah, I think they just continued to run the football well. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing. And, you know, Gardner Minshew is like this folk hero that he doesn't have to do anything. And people will say he played an outstanding game and he's the reason why they won. And I don't get it. I mean, he made a couple plays yesterday. He did, but they ran the football. And I think, you know, things for the most part remain the same. I will say this, it almost got easier to defend the run, because now you don't have to worry about the quarterback pulling it and running 60 yards, which is what Anthony Richardson could do. So that's how I look at it. I don't think it really changed much. I think they still, you know, were able to play the defense that they needed to play, but you just didn't have to have true 11-on-11 football like you do when Richardson is on the field.
Talking to Teron Davenport. Teron, we just did our sort of breakdown Monday morning quarterback on the 4th-and-1. And what happened on the play. I'm curious what you saw and maybe what you got from the guys in the locker room. It's starting with the fact that, you know, they were sure they were going to go for it, but it did look like they checked, and then they had a couple guys in motion. It looked a little bit it looked like there was a little bit of discomfort before they ever snapped the ball. So what did you see?
Yeah, well, see, for me, looking at that and knowing where that play was going and seeing where DeForest Buckner was, I probably would have either caught, like, I had to switch it up, you know. And it's always easy for me to sit right here and say that. But, I mean, I'm not sure I'd run at Buckner in that situation, you know. So,
and do you think he checked into that and then realized after, oh, I just checked into a run at Buckner and Buckner on Hubbard?
I don't know that he checked into that. I would be surprised if he did. You know, I think that was probably the play call, and it's one of those ones where you get it, you know. A lot of people question running out of the shotgun, but, you know, again, Derrick Henry is a guy that you like to get an opportunity to, you know, get some steam going towards the line of scrimmage, and it just – Buckner, he blew it up, right? He won against his man, and he was able to be there to tackle. And you had Isaiah Franklin just coming in over top, and I wonder if they get a block on Buckner, if Franklin would be able to take on Henry and take him down. I think Henry probably, you know, has a collision, and you know how he falls forward, and it's a first down, and this conversation is a little bit different.
Teron, it was hard to not notice when Mike Vrabel today was asked about Tajay Spears, how glowingly he spoke about him, the person, the detail, the little things that he's seeing beyond the things that are easy for us to see, you know, the make people miss that we talked a lot about last week. I'm very curious, big picture, not necessarily about because it went a certain way yesterday, but it reminds me a lot of an up-and-coming UC Saros, an aging Pekka-Rinne, right? You cannot – Derrick Henry and Pekka-Rinne, I think, are very similar in what they mean to a franchise. Like, if they told me in 10 years they're going to put a statue of Derrick Henry, I would applaud. I would say, absolutely, he deserves it, all of that. You know, that's kind of what we're talking about here. But you've got a fast-rising Tajay Spears that it's clear in this offense where they need explosion, he gives them a chance there. Balancing that over the next several weeks, I think, is going to be an interesting challenge for everybody in there.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting challenge. You heard what Mike Vrabel said about, you know, we got to find more ways to get him the ball, get him touches. So it's clear they want him to have opportunities. And you've seen modifications of the offense, right? You have that, you know, that reverse that they ran or end around, whatever you want to call it. They had that yesterday. But then you look at going into the Chargers game, or not the Chargers game, the week four.
The Bengals.
For the Bengals game. The Bengals game, you had that where you saw him on that cheat motion, right? And so that's another way to try to get him in position. And I'm telling you, that's going to lead to a big play at some point. They're going to hit one on that. And that's another example of just how they're starting to get him the ball. You look at the snaps yesterday, it was 34 for Henry, 31 for Spears. They're on the field at the same time a lot. And we haven't really seen that as much. And, you know, this is what I would imagine they envisioned when they selected him, and that they didn't select a running back. They selected what they look at as a weapon.
I think, to me, the challenging part, if I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the coaching staff, of Tim Kelly, of even Mike Vrabel, the delicate part, because it's only going to get more, as long as Spears stays on the field and is for real, which I think he is, I watched it happen over time with Rinne and Saros. And it was tough for John Hines to say, you know what, Saros is now past Rinne. I got to start going the key games with him and not Rinne. So I wonder, it's a very delicate thing because of what Henry means to the franchise. So I wonder about that layer to it as it evolves, if it evolves this way. I think we're all hoping that Spears can continue to develop because they desperately need what he can give them.
Yeah, I think it's going to continue to evolve, and it's going to be one of those things where it changes from game to game. You look at the Bengals game, he ran the ball 25 times. So there's going to be times where they got to rely on Henry, especially like a game where they either have a lead or they're driving to take the lead late in the fourth quarter. You want to salt the clock away, but also drive. I think that's where he comes into play. But the thing is, some of the things that Vrabel had mentioned when he talked about Tajay coming up and taking on the blocks and those type of things, those are the things that are valuable for a guy getting on the field on third down. And we know he could catch the ball as well. So it's going to be just a week-to-week thing, man. I think even like situation to situation.
Teron Davenport is with us. TD, we spent pretty much a good bit of last week talking about how good and reliable Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore have been in the passing game. Both of them, really, for the most part, non-factors. What is that? Is that a Tim Kelly play design thing? Is that those guys just couldn't get open? Why do you think they were targeted so few or so little yesterday against the Colts?
Well, I think Hopkins, he was dominating.
He was cooking.
Really what it boils down to. There were a few opportunities. I remember Westbrook-Ikhine had one catch, and they kind of flipped him over. He caught one across the middle. But the targets were a little more limited for them. But like I said, when you have a guy that's steadily getting open the way Hopkins was, I mean, Juju Brents and the other corner, like, they couldn't cover him. Mm-hmm. They couldn't. And then that one catch he made along the sideline, where he was running down there and he was looking for it, just kind of, and he had to turn and keep his eye on the ball and then go up and catch it and then get both feet down. I mean, that was an outstanding
nice
catch.
Yeah.
So he was in his bag yesterday, and he showed that he still has that top-level receiver ability. And it was good to see. You know, it's unfortunate they lost, because I definitely was – I had some things set up to finally be able to write about Hopkins, and it didn't happen.
TD is with us. TD, 2-3 on the season, now 0-1 in the division. A whole lot of football left to be played, but not the most encouraging performance, especially defensively on Sunday. where do the Titans go from here? You know, if you can look at, you know, from now until Sunday when you're in London, what do you think is the number one focus or should be the number one focus of this football team?
Yeah, I think the focus is to just be consistent at what they do well. You know, they run the football well, be consistent with that. They play action well, be consistent with that. They defend the run well, so be consistent with that. And they have to figure out a way to stop allowing the explosives in the passing game, you know. And that's something that just continues to rear its ugly head with that defense. So they got to get those things done. They have to start generating some turnovers too. So that's important as well.
Now, do you expect TD to see Nicholas back in the lineup, or do you think they wait until after the London game? And do you know anything else on Traylon? Do you expect him to play this week?
Yeah. I think after the London game will probably be a series or two, you know, for Nicholas Petit Ferreira. This way you're getting him gradually acclimated. I wouldn't be surprised if you see it in the London game, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I think for sure after that bye week, Mike Vrabel had mentioned how he has to, you know, earn his way back in, and he hadn't played football in some time. And the last time he played, he wasn't playing that well in the preseason. So those are all things you got to factor in. As far as Burks is concerned, Vrabel said that he hopes to see him out there moving around, which is a good thing. And it's just going to be – I think that need is needed to – he just needed to be off it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that was the main thing. But, you know, it's interesting because if they do bring him back, I'm sure you guys heard, you know, Teron Johnson and Matt Milano, you know, the guys got hurt at that Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, you know, which is where the Titans are going to be playing. And Teron Johnson has said that he felt the surface had a lot to do with it. So I say all that to say, got to be careful getting Burks back out there if, you know, there are complaints about this playing surface. I asked Vrabel about it, and he said they've done research and actually talked to both teams. So we'll see what happens and if that factors into Burks getting back out there.
Well, they're gonna need, you know, him back out there, as well as those other guys continuing to play well. Hop and you know, Chig is another guy that, you know, he had a few catches yesterday, but he still hasn't given, you know, this coaching staff that game that, you know, they've been looking for. Do you expect to see that from him soon?
It's going to be tough this week because I know the Ravens, you know, with Roquan Smith, yeah, he's a good player if they want to, you know, man up or anything like that. At some point, you're going to have to see it. You know, it has to break through. I don't know, man. It's been, as Mike Vrabel said, he's been inconsistent, you know, and that's something that has to be fixed because he's a guy that was expected to be a big part of the offense.
TD, appreciate you as always. Thanks for stopping by, and safe travels across the pond this weekend.
All right, thanks a lot. I'm actually not taking the trip, man. Only our Ravens reporter is going. I'm going to be watching from the couch, man.
All right, well, enjoy your weekend at home. That sounds pretty nice, too.
Yeah, all right.
You're like, I would rather go.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I'd rather be there, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hate missing games. So, okay, appreciate you.
Thanks, yep. TD, appreciate it. I think, you know, when I asked TD about, you know, where does this team go from here, it does feel as simple as get back to what you do best, you know, play action, run the football, play good defense, be tough at the line of scrimmage. But also, at what point is it just, you know, why are you getting away from the identity in the first place? Is it as easy to just say, you know, hey, play to your identity? Because if it was that easy, everyone would be doing that.
Well, are we talking on offense or overall?
Because
I think overall.
Because either way, like the identity, they, like you said, they averaged 17.5 points a game last year, and they're averaging 17.6
basically
this year. So the identity, you're trying to grow the identity, right, to some point. And I think the other part of yesterday was they thought they had a defense that was a big part of it. That was not the Titans' defense, at least what it needs to be part of the winning identity.
I think
they got beat.
Yeah,
they got physically
got beat.
Yeah.
They got beat at what they do best, and what they, you know, usually, you know, are doing to teams, running the ball down teams' throat, you know, eating up clock, eating up time, you know, these long drives. Well, that is what the Titans are used to doing. They very seldom do they have that done on them. They've only had, in the last 2 years, 200-yard rushers. Two. Saquon Barkley and the kid Robinson, I believe. Was it for Jacksonville? It was for one of the teams. But I wrote it down. I got it here somewhere. But, yeah, they've only – yep, he had 18 carries, Jay Robinson for Jacksonville. He had 18 carries, 141 yards, a touchdown. Then Saquon Barkley last season, first game of the season, 18 carries, 164 yards and a touchdown. So what they do to people usually is what got done to them last night. And if they can't – hopefully that's just a blip on the screen for the Titans, because usually, you know, I'm more so leaning to a blip on the screen, because over the last 2 or 3 years, that hasn't been the case. But this team, their identity is what it is. They're a run team, play hard-nosed defense.
That doesn't work when you can't run the football. Yeah, and you don't play
hard. I think
defense.
It's hard to switch midstream on who you are as a team. It's hard to then say, oh, we need to become something totally different. Why? Because you got the people for the identity that you already created. You don't have the people for the identity you want to create.
You're not all of a sudden going to play Golden State Warriors football.
Absolutely.
You're not going to completely change what you want to do.
To me, this week is a critical week for the Titans. Not from the standpoint of winning and losing, because it's a long season.
Yeah.
But I think from the standpoint of getting back and consistently being who they are as a team, which is playing really good defense up front, making it a little bit easier for those guys on the back end. And that shouldn't be there. Like, they shouldn't have – you should be good on your own in the back end. But as it be, if the defensive line is playing well, if the secondary is typically playing well, they need to stick to that and run the football. If they do that and still end up not winning the game, we got to feel good about what they are, who they are as a team. But if they go here, go over to London, and none of that happens and they lose, yeah, we got a big problem.
It's almost like I can't blame you for losing, because you're not doing what you do best.
Exactly.
Whether that's being taken away from you, or whether you're not giving that, you're not giving your team the best chance to win. If you don't, if you cannot run the football and play hard-nosed defense, you're not going to win very many games.
No.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What I want to get into coming up next. Vibe check. 2-3, 0-1 in the division. How are we feeling? How have our expectations changed for this team? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ridley, D. Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.